We're going to go ahead and give the microphone over to our resolutions chair, Mr. Jeff Tom. And after our resolutions, we are going to conclude our business session with a bit of history from Kathy Skivers. I think that's a perfect way to conclude our session today. So with that, and we do have cash door prizes left, macadamia nuts and another box of cookies from the Hawaiian Cookie Company. So stay tuned. Jeff Tom, please give a warm round of applause for our resolution chair, Jeff Tom.
All right.
Thank you.
I want to thank my committee first and foremost. Lena Dawes, Charles Navarrete, Robert Wendt, Gene Lozano, Linda Perel. Who am I missing? Gabe. Oh, that's right. That's right. He left. See, he left. So I disregarded him. Oh, okay. And Gabe Griffith, of course, who helped me with all my technological problems, as well as his excellent writing skills. I want to also thank Donna Pomerantz, who was there quite a bit of the time. And I want to thank all those who submitted resolutions as well. Okay, we're going to start with number two and then go back. We have six issue-oriented ones and two, and then our two ones that we have. So we're going to start with number two, and I will read the format that we use in this one, and I won't read it again in the other ones. And for those of you who have never heard these before, we have certain words that we stick in at the beginning of the first whereas clause that you will hear. Okay, this one deals with resolution 2013-A2 cycle tracks as submitted by Eugene Lozano. Whereas, and I may have left him out too when I come to think of it, because he is also a member and longstanding. Whereas bicycle vehicular accidents are a serious public safety problem, and whereas one of the methods proposed by bicyclists to reduce the incidence of bicycle vehicular accidents is the use of so-called cycle tracks, and whereas a cycle track is a design by which a bicycle lane is designated between the on-street parking lane and the sidewalk, and whereas a pedestrian navigating between a vehicle and the sidewalk, and thus across the cycle track, is at risk of being struck by oncoming bicycles. And whereas cycle tracks have been used somewhat extensively in Europe, but also in the United States, and whereas research has been contradictory as to whether cycle tracks have reduced have reduced bicycle vehicular accidents, but such research has indicated that cycle tracks increase bicycle pedestrian accidents, whereas best practices for the use of cycle tracks indicate that a buffer, such as grass or trees, and methods of demarcating the beginning of the cycle track, such as bollards or texture and coloration differentiation, are vital in reducing safety hazards for both bicyclists and pedestrians. And whereas bicyclists are seeking the enactment of state legislation pursuant to Assembly Bill 1193, which would purport to grant sufficient local flexibility to allow local governments to install cycle tracks. And whereas, although the bill's proponents view the bill as requiring their installation only if meeting sufficient safety criteria, the types of best practices discussed in this resolution cannot be specified by the bill. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind and Convention assembled this 14th day of April at the Hilton Arden West Hotel in the city of Sacramento, California, that this organization begin a dialogue with bicyclists and other stakeholders on the appropriate use of cycle tracks. And be it further resolved that this organization oppose any legislation that would permit the use of cycle tracks unless and until the safety concerns in this resolution are adequately addressed. and the committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Any discussion? All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay. The next two resolutions we're going to handle a little differently because they deal with different approaches to the same topic, that of the California State Guide Dog, California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind. They're numbers 1 and 4. What we're going to do, I'm going to read both resolutions first, and then the committee, we've decided that I'm going to give some brief factual background on what CCB's policies have been in relation to some of the topics of the resolution. Then after that, we will go back to the first resolution and read it for debate. And then after that has been dispensed with, we will deal with the second resolution. So I just wanted to lay that out for you ahead of time so you know how we're going to handle it, since it's a little bit different than the norm. Okay. Resolution 2013-A1, and this is dealing with the California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind, and it's submitted by Margie Donovan and Ken Metz. Whereas the California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind was established in the late 1940s primarily for the purpose of preventing fraud and protecting people from being solicited for unwarranted funds for the purpose of starting up guide dog schools without doing so in good faith. Whereas numerous illegal efforts were made whereby individuals or groups received funds for starting up a guide dog school only to see these fundraisers for money and disappear without any such guide dog school being established. And whereas some schools began without the consideration of any reasonable standards or best practices put in place and for the purpose of training or supplying well-trained guide dogs to persons who were blind or visually impaired. And whereas this newly created board began to set up legitimate fundraising practices, guide dog school startup procedures, and licensing standards for such schools and guide dog trainers in California. And whereas other procedures were later implemented without knowledge of the general public, including guide dog handlers, which now prevent out-of-state guide dog schools from helping to maintain the best training of guide dogs for those handlers who, through informed choice, have decided to attend a reputable guide dog school outside California by working for a day or two as needed, unless the out-of-California guide dog school trainer coming to California is also licensed by the board. And whereas the California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind has also implemented a statute that the California guide dog schools that California guide dog schools provide the names and addresses, I'm sorry, it should say that requires California guide dog schools provide the names and addresses of all California guide dog graduates attending the 3 California guide dog schools for no known reason. Whereas the board requires any apprentice seeking licensure to provide videos of the apprentice instructing guide dog teams without requiring the authorized use of the student's image. Now, therefore, be it resolved, etc., etc., that this organization urged the California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind to inform all students receiving a guide dog in California of the fact that they may be used in videos by apprentice trainers seeking their licenses, and require that apprentices obtain the student's permission to use their image. And be it further resolved that the California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind inform guide dog handlers in California as to their ability to assist said handlers in cases of access issues in such places as housing, transportation, businesses, and in all areas of accessibility covered by both state and federal legislation. And be it further resolved that prospective guide dog handlers be allowed to make an informed choice of attending an out-of-state guide dog school as their choice and receive updated guide dog skill maintenance by their school of choice without that trainer being licensed in California. And be it further resolved that the California State Board of Guide Dogs to the Blind provide handouts to the three guide dog schools in California and other schools, should they be established in California, to give to their graduates, explaining in general the board's purpose as a consumer entity. And be it further resolved that this organization finds sponsors in the legislature to sponsor such legislation to cover the above, should that be necessary. And be it further resolved that if compliance with the above is not possible, CCB will not support continuation of the California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind and will seek legislation to have that board dissolved. That is the end of the first of the two guide dog board resolutions. We'll now skip to number four. And this was submitted by a group of persons, Lillian Scaife, I hope I don't miss anyone, Lillian Scaife, Angela Griffith, Don Brown, Mary Beth Randall, and I think there might have been one other person. That was four out of five anyway. I did say who submitted. Okay. Whereas in the late 1940s, 21 guide dog schools were operating in California, and whereas, led by some of the prominent leaders and members of the California Council of the Blind, advice was given to the state legislature, which resulted in the passage of legislation to create the California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind, the only licensing agency of its kind in the nation, and whereas, due to the formation of the board, the number of guide dog schools qualified to obtain guide dogs in California, Whereas, due to the formation of the board, the number of guide dog schools qualified to train guide dogs in California was reduced to three. And whereas, since 1949, the board has had the exclusive authority in California to issue licenses for the operation of guide dog schools and the licensing of instructors for the training of guide dogs and guide dog handlers. And whereas the board has the above authority pursuant to Business and Professions Code Section 7200.5, and whereas California is the first and only state in the nation to ensure that the quality of guide dog training programs and the competency of instructors meets or exceeds the standards of other schools across the nation through a comprehensive examination and licensing procedure for California schools and their instructors. And whereas the California Council of the Blind has a long-standing mutually beneficial history of partnering with the board that has resulted in consumers both within the state and across the country who use guide dogs as their choice of mobility aid being afforded well-trained dogs at an exemplary level of training from three of the top guide dog schools in the country. And whereas the board, in order to assure the public in California that blind Californians who wish to obtain guide dogs from schools operating outside of the state and thus not subject to our strict licensing requirements will receive quality services regardless of the school from which they receive those services, has required all trainers instructing blind persons in the state of California in the use of a guide dog to be licensed by the board. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization reaffirm its support of the existence of the California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind, and be it further resolved that the California Council of the Blind, through Guide Dog Users of California, GDUC, its special interest affiliate, continue its longstanding collaborative relationship with the board with an aim toward the guarantee that consumers who are blind and visually impaired have access to exceptional training and services they have come to expect as California citizens. Okay, so now the committee would like you to hear a brief explanation of where CCB policy has been. First, we adopted a resolution 2012 B1 last year that would seek an exemption from licensure for instructors employed by guide dog schools that are certified by an international body that would exempt them from licensure in California for providing services in California. That we sought to get a bill introduced. We were not successful, although we came close. That bill will not be introduced this year. It's conceivable, you know, everything changes from year to year. But so that's where that is. We subsequently, this is the year that the Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind, along with other boards, has its what's called a sunset review, which means it needs to have a bill that extends its life. Under current law, it would be repealed on January 1/14. So a lot of these boards, and it's in most instances pretty pro forma, but they hold hearings to decide whether, as part of the bill that's going to extend these boards for 4 years, they want other things to be addressed, changes to be made in the statutes, etc. Donna brought together a group of people for a call prior to committee hearing in early April that was being held on what should be done with the Guide Dog Board in terms of changes to its authority. And that call consisted, as well as Donna and myself, it consisted of Mary Beth Randall, Frank Welty, Ken and Pam Metz, and did I miss anyone? And Marge Donovan, I'm sorry. Based on that call, we submitted testimony to the committees and the copy, and a board has also received the copy, seeking several things. First, we want fact sheets sent. We asked for fact sheets to be submitted to the school so that they could disseminate them, one of which would delineate what authority they had and didn't have in terms of advocating for guide dog users who are discriminated against. Another fact sheet would be to tell the graduates about the board's arbitration process that they currently have, that the board can actually arbitrate disputes between a guide dog school and a handler. Another thing we asked for is to work on a mechanism to deal with the situation whereby they don't necessarily obtain any permission to use the image of the guide dog handler in a video that's submitted to the board to evaluate the apprentice's ability for licensure purposes. And finally, we also sought to remove the requirement that names and addresses be disclosed to the board. That testimony was submitted, and that's where all that lies at the moment. And that gives you just a factual update as to what has been done over the past few months with respect to the board. So now we will begin with the first resolution. The committee is not going to be making a recommendation on either resolution, so it will take a motion to bring the resolution to the floor, a motion from the floor, just so that we get the parliamentary understanding of how it will work. So we will begin with...
What I wish to say before we continue, in the interest of full disclosure, the reason that I called this group together, who left the call all in agreement with the testimony that CCB was giving, was because we had made attempts. CCB absolutely agrees that we go to our experts, meaning you, the membership, the affiliates, and we did attempt, Jeff Tom several times attempted to, you know, definitely receive counsel and guidance from GDUC. so that we would know which way to proceed. So when we were not able to get that from the group, I decided that I would bring the president and vice president of GDUC onto a call with other members who are active within the guide dog user community. And so that's why CCB submitted that written testimony. So I wanted to give you that background. And Frank seeks the floor.
Yes, I apologize for the brief interruption there. I rise to a point of inquiry, and depending on the answer, I will be prepared to make a motion. My point of inquiry is, and this is directed to either Jeff or Donna, is CCB's has, I believe we have, but just to make sure, does CCB have a formal position in place supporting understood with understood suggestions for improvement, but supporting the rechartering of the guide dog board?
Not to my knowledge. We don't have a formal position either way.
Okay, my second, I do have one second point of inquiry, and that would be, assuming that Resolution 4 were to be passed, and I'm speaking of Resolution 4, that if Resolution 4 were to be passed as written, that would I be correct in assuming that it, the text of that resolution would probably be included in our testimony to the appropriate committees regarding the sunset? You know, the language with all the history that that exists in the section in the resolution A4.
Well, I mean, you know, it's very possible. I mean, for one thing, it's going to be public anyway. Any resolution this organization does is put on the internet. It's public.
All right, then. So, I wish to make a motion then.
Well, okay.
Just one moment. Jeff was going to say something.
The resolution is not on the. Neither resolution has yet been brought to the floor.
That is correct.
We're trying to.
We're trying to bring it to the floor.
Yes. One at a time.
May I make my motion?
You want to make your motion before bringing the resolutions to the floor.
Yes. I move that the CCB adopt resolution. There, the mouth is working now. 2013 A4.
I don't think you can do that.
I don't. Well, hold on one moment. It's actually out of order. It is out of order because Jeff was attempting to first bring the resolution. What was the number?
One.
Resolution one to the floor.
Then I would wish to make a point of order.
And so the point of order is that that resolution is first in the queue, and we deal with them one by one in order that they were brought. So, Jeff, if you would please read that resolution.
Okay.
One
right.
More time for the body to vote on.
So this is Resolution 2013-A1. California State Board of Guide Dogs of the Blind. Whereas the California State Board of Guide Dogs of the Blind was established in the late 1940s, primarily for the purpose of preventing fraud and protecting people from being solicited for unwarranted funds for the purpose of starting up guide dog schools without doing so in good faith. And whereas numerous illegal efforts were made whereby individuals or groups received funds for starting up a guide dog school, only to see these fundraisers take the money and disappear without any such guide dog school being established. And whereas some schools began without the consideration of any reasonable standards or best practices put in place for the purpose of training or supplying well-trained guide dogs to persons who were blind or visually impaired. And whereas this newly created board began to set up legitimate fundraising practices, guide dog school startup procedures, and licensing standards for such schools and guide dog trainers in California, and whereas other procedures were later implemented without knowledge of the general public, including guide dog handlers, which now prevent out-of-state guide dog schools from from helping to maintain the best training of guide dogs for those handlers who, through informed choice, have decided to attend a reputable guide dog school outside California by working for a day or two as needed, unless the unless the out-of-California guide dog school trainer coming to California is also licensed by the board. And whereas the California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind has also implemented a statute that the California guide dog schools provide the names and addresses of all California guide dog graduates attending the three California guide dog schools for no known reason. Whereas the board requires any apprentice seeking licensure to provide videos of the apprentice instructing guide dog teams without requiring the authorized use of the student's image. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization urged the California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind to inform all students receiving a guide dog in California of the fact that they may be used in videos by apprentice trainers, seeking their licenses, and require that apprentices obtain the student's permission to use their image. And be it further resolved that the California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind inform guide dog handlers in California as to their ability to assist said handlers in cases of access issues in such places as housing, transportation, businesses, and all areas of accessibility covered by both state and federal legislation. And be it further resolved that prospective guide dog handlers be allowed to make an informed choice of attending an out-of-state guide dog school as their choice of their choice, and receive updated guide dog skill maintenance by their school of choice without that trainer being licensed in California. And be it further resolved that the California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind provide handouts to the three guide dog schools in California and other schools, should they be established in California, to give to the graduates, explaining in general the board's purpose as a consumer entity. And be it further resolved that this organization find sponsors in the legislature to sponsor such legislation to cover the above, should that be necessary. And be it further resolved that if compliance with the above is not possible, CCB will not support continuation of the California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind and will seek legislation to have that board dissolved. And the committee makes no recommendation.
Mr. Chair, I move this resolution.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor to move this resolution. We have several seconds. Do we have discussion?
Madam Chair, this is Frank Welty. I wish to move an amendment to this resolution. I move that the final resolve clause be stricken from the resolution. I wish to speak to the amendment.
Okay, so this is an amendment. By the way, I do want to say that, and I want to remind folks that when you call for the floor, state your name, as Frank has done, so that I can recognize you, and then we will get a mic to you. So we have an amendment on the floor, and we have several seconds, and I guess, and I'm confused here for a second. It is an unfriendly amendment.
This is correct.
It is an unfriendly amendment, so it will be debated. And what I would like to ask, because we will have debate here, is that we do something that's not necessarily a part of our convention policy, but I'd like to have pros and cons, and I'm going to start the timer at 20 minutes, and we will take it in order, and I'd like to have Frank. Frank, are you,
yes.
You're obviously pro the amendment.
Yes, correct.
So let me have you speak first. Actually, we would like a con after that. Go ahead, Frank.
First off, While I would not characterize this as a friendly amendment, I don't know that I would call it an unfriendly amendment per se. However, mm-hmm. I have two primary reasons for presenting this amendment, and both of them for similar reasons. First of all, and they're primarily related to the practicality of the current legislative situation. First of all, given that we are in the process of the sunset review, and given that the CCB, depending, is currently on a trajectory to support the continuance of the guide dog board, and that possibly strengthened by a possible introduction and adoption of Resolution A4, it would seem that it would not be consistent to decide to have a resolution that includes language opposing the continued existence of the board. Also, for practical reasons, assuming that we go forward with our support for the board, with the understanding that we have certain expectations that are well explained in this resolution, that it is unlikely that there would be any opportunity this year to introduce language or to introduce a bill opposing the continued existence of the board during this legislative year, simply because it would take that long for the process regarding the board's sunset to play out during this year. So we wouldn't be in a position to have a new bill introduced opposing the board for certain reasons prior to this next year anyway. So that clause is, I believe, premature and inconsistent with other positions of this organization.
Okay, we have someone who is against the amendment. Is that Ken Metz? And you are against the amendment, correct? Okay, Ken?
Thank you. Number one, I don't believe that we have, even though we've stated here that we would like to see the board dissolved, it's only if, in fact, the board does not work with us in order to obtain the goals that we have set forward in the various clauses. We have looked for many years with the board, for some 60 years that the board was in effect, as an example. They went ahead and allowed other guide dog schools throughout the country to send people to come in here and do maintenance work with their graduates to help them if they were having any issues with their guide dogs. And all of a sudden, after some 60 years, even though I understand that this particular situation was on their books as part of their statutory efforts, after 60 years, they finally said, oh, now we want to go ahead and make sure that all the other schools who are going to come into California to do maintenance work are licensed. So what we are actually saying here, and the reason I'm saying that we would need to dissolve the board if they do not work with us, we're not saying to dissolve the board. We're saying to dissolve it only if they don't work with us on setting up the various clauses that are stated in this resolution. And that's where the amendment, that's where I'm opposing it. We feel that people have the right through informed choice to go out of state as well as within state to decide where they want to get their guide dogs, and that they should have the same type of capability of maintenance throughout the life of the use of that guide dog. With the way this particular situation is going right now, people are not being given that choice. People are being told that in order to get their guide dog school, whether it be Seeing Eye, whether it be Leader Dog, whether it be any of the other guiding eyes, that We're saying that because we have a state board of guide dogs for the blind, and this was stated even in the some of the argument of this resolution, we were told that, okay, well, because we have the board, we have the best schools, guide dog schools in the country. Well, I think if you said that to Seeing Eye, who started in 1928, there would be some opposition to that. I think if you said it to Leader Dogs, who's been around for many years, there would be opposition. And I don't think that just because California has a state board of guide dogs, they have done a great job in some of its regulation. There's no doubt that saved Californians a lot of money in some of these startup schools that really were being put together for the wrong purpose. Obviously, it was a money-making thing and not something to help people get guide dogs. So therefore, I feel that the state board needs to actually work with us so that people can use informed choice to obtain their guide dogs and to maintain their guide dogs with good work quality.
Okay. Point of information by Mitch. Even the people with the AL.
And this is a Jeff question, Jeff. And this will determine how I vote on this amendment. Would such legislation even be appropriate given that statutorily the board will be going through a sunset hearing process? I mean, if someone introduced a bill this year to eliminate the board, is that really feasible given that there's already a statute in place calling for a sunset hearing?
Well, the answer would be no, but of course this, you know, to be totally fair about it, this resolution doesn't put any kind of timeline. So, I mean, when it says that we're not going to, if they don't support continuation, it doesn't say when they're going to pull the plug and require legislation to dissolve it. So that's, I don't know if that's a full answer to your question or not, but you're correct that you know, realistically, it's, you know, this year we're not going to see any legislation introduced to dissolve the board.
Well, that helps. So, I know how I'm voting now.
Kathy Skivers. Kathy Skivers is, we are now, she is supportive of the amendment. So, Kathy Skivers, you have the floor.
Yes, in listening to this, they're very long resolutions, and you really have to. I understand what you're after, what should be done. I think the Guide Dog Board has done some very fine things. They've done some questionable things. They haven't done it the way I think it should be done. What I have a problem with this resolution is that we're saying you're doing this wrong, which we should. I mean, we think you should do this a better way. But when we get to that last clause, which is what this amendment is, we've always said that we're going to do thus and so, how we're going to resolve a situation that we don't like. But to come along and say that unless you agree with us, we're, you know, it has to be, to me, it is saying, do it this way. If you don't, it has a threat in there. I don't like to see anything say, if you don't do as we say, we're going to go for legislation. I'd rather see something in there that says that, as we have before, that we will take all legal remedies necessary to solve the situation. I don't like to think about, I would feel if I voted for this, which I probably won't, that we're threatening. I don't like to say you either do it our way or we're going to sue you, and we can sue and we'll do legislation. We would anyhow if we felt it was necessary. But I just would, I feel uncomfortable with it for that reason. I'm going to vote with this amendment.
And remember, this is exactly just discussion on the amendment.
That's
to
right.
To remove that last clause.
That's right. I am.
Yes. And I'm, no, I'm saying that for clarification for the audience, because I heard some folks saying, well, the resolution, is it the, so it was clarification. Okay. We have Margie. Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam President. Margie Donovan. I rise to speak in opposition to the amendment. I've heard all the comments. I think this organization, until recently, for many of years, has had a representative sitting on the guide dog board, has represented this organization, has negotiated with the guide dog board to adequately represent this organization. And we, over the years, we have found this board to continuously restrict our rights as blind, visually impaired individuals. And recently, it has severely restricted our rights in the past 3 years. I think this the amendment is saying, hey, folks, it's time you listen to us. We are tired of our rights being restricted. I recall the days where we told BART, no more. We want edge detection. We did not negotiate with BART. We went into the courts. I recall the day when ACB was in San Francisco, and in a heartbeat, we rallied up, got buses, and went down and picketed DOT. Our word meant something. And that's what we are saying here. Hey, Guide Dog Board, listen to us or else. That is the word we are putting out. And if they listen to us, then we'll work with them. Damn it, it's time they listen to us and they quit restricting our rights. Right now, people whose dogs are being attacked from seeing eye, from out-of-state schools, are having to be retired because out-of-state instructors cannot come in and work with those dogs and get them back working. Those dogs are being retired. Dogs who are being hit by cars are having to be retired because out-of-state school instructors cannot come in to this state and work with those dogs. $50,000 dogs are having to be retired. All we're asking is that this board quit restricting us and listen to us and work with the council. Thus far, they have not done that. I encourage my blind brothers and sisters in this audience to vote no on this amendment. Please vote yes to get the board to work with this. We will not sunset this. We will not sunset this board if they will work with us. Thank you.
Okay, I hear several people seeking the floor. Before I recognize anyone, do we have another person in favor of the amendment? You're in favor of the amendment? Okay, one moment. Don't go yet, Ed. Don't go yet, Ed. Do we have another person who is opposed to the amendment? Did I hear a yes? Okay. We will recognize Charlene in favor of the amendment. We will recognize Vita opposed to the amendment. And then we will call for the question because our 20 minutes will be up. Charlene, you have the floor.
Thank you. I'm in favor of this because, again, as it's been said, disbanding the guide dog board is not a good idea. Recently, a school called Praise Guide Dogs tried to get started. They were not put together well. They didn't have a good program. People could have had real problems with dogs. This happens in other states. And I tell people, it's not a buyer beware when you get a guide dog. You need to have a dog that's properly trained. Having dogs from other schools outside of California, I know that there are schools that do not meet the standards of California. If we don't have the guide dog board, I hate to think of some of the things that could be happening. We could in the future...
Order on the floor, please.
We could in the future make a resolution to take more drastic steps. But at this time, with the sunset coming up and what's going on, I am in favor of removing that last statement, so I support it.
Vita Zavoli will be our last speaker. Speaking opposed.
Hello. I can't add too much more to Margie. this, the last clause there is way, we're not saying this is tomorrow. This is way, way down the road. We're just asking them to work with us. But if you don't give some sort of what if at the end, there's no need for them to step up and do anything. And that's my concern.
Okay. All those in favor of supporting the amendment, signify by saying aye. All those opposed to the amendment?
No.
The amendment is defeated. Okay, now we have the resolution on the floor for vote. Do we have a motion to support? Do we? Oh, there is a motion. I apologize. It's discussion. Okay, before we do, okay, and I'm letting you know, before we do discussion, I have the timer again. I am ready. We will start with 20 minutes. And Frank, point of inquiry, go ahead.
Yes, my point of inquiry is, Jeff, could you reread the third whereas clause?
Yes, as soon as I can find it, I can do that.
Not, I'm sorry, not the whereas clause, the resolve clause, excuse
oh.
me. The third resolve clause.
There's a big difference.
Quite a big difference, yes.
As we know.
I stand corrected.
That's okay. You've been in there with us too. He's counting. He's almost there. I heard him say the second. What comes after the second?
Pretty sure this is the third, Frank. If it's not, you can let me know. Okay. Be it further resolved that prospective guide dog handlers be allowed to make an informed choice of attending an out-of-state guide dog school as their, of their choice, and receive updated guide dog skill maintenance by their school of choice without that trainer being licensed in California.
Thank you. I wish to propose an amendment. This is Frank Welty. I'm not going to do an end this series of amendments, but this one is important. I wish to be recognized to propose an amendment.
Okay, Frank wishes to. Now, this is in order, correct? I think it is, but. Okay, perfect. Go ahead, Frank.
I wish to amend.
Order from the floor, please, so that people could hear what the amendment is. Thank you, Frank. Go ahead.
I propose that the third resolve clause be that the following language be substituted for the third resolve clause. And be it further resolved that the council seek legislative or regulatory language, or rather seek the implementation of legislative or regulatory language to establish a temporary certification, a temporary instructor certification for instructor certification for instructors from out-of-state guide dog schools that are members in good standing of the International Guide Dog Federation to provide maintenance services to their graduates.
Okay. I have to ask the question of, do the makers believe that this is a friendly amendment. I hear one no. How about the other?
Madam Chair, point of clarification.
Point of clarification.
I withdraw my no. I'm a little concerned. If I can clarify, I'm a little concerned to send that off to the guide dog board, temporary certification. I would want a lot more specificity about that, because it could, you know, I just want more specificity. And Frank, if you could actually give some guidelines for that, I might see it as a friendly amendment.
And they would need to be obviously written into the amendment. And
let's go back to Frank, or who's go to?
Frank, more specificity.
Sure. I would be willing to let me provide a little more language. And
if you could try to be succinct.
Yes. It would be language authorizing that. Authorizing, I'm trying to remember my language here. Authorizing temporary certification that would allow instructors from out-of-state guide dog schools that are members in good standing of the International Guide Dog Federation to provide maintenance services to their graduates for periods of no more than 2 weeks at a time.
Yeah, temporary is a vague.
Let me remove temporary as saying that it would, instead I would say that it would be a visiting instructor status rather than temporary.
Okay. Okay, so if you could, if you could state it for the recording, so we could
capture it. Let me say it one more time. Then the amendment would be: be it further resolved that the council will seek legislative and/or regulatory language, calling on the guide dog board to establish a category of visitor instructor certification that would permit instructors from out-of-state guide dog schools that are members in good standing of the International Guide Dog Federation to provide maintenance services to their clients, to provide maintenance services to their clients for visits of up to 2 weeks at a time.
Okay. Ken, you or another, do you accept it as friendly? Okay. Any more discussion?
And I'll be after that.
Mitch and then Jeff.
I had really hoped to avoid this, and this is why I loathe wordsmithing from the floor. And I'm going to either be the most popular guy in the world or the most unpopular. That third whereas, followed by the final whereas regarding the abolition, are in contradiction. I'm going to move that both resolution 2013 A1 and A4 be tabled until the fall, during which time GDUC, Ms. Donovan, and the Resolutions Committee Chair work together on one resolution which will state our position definitively.
Before it gets read, I don't know if it's that legal.
Roger.
It is for one.
Roger.
Do it for both at the same time.
What I am asking, because we had a resounding seconds, what I am asking is, must we read 4 one more time, and then, or do we table them each?
You must,
You must take the vote. I'm not on mic.
There, you know what? There are many people with the name of Roger Peterson in this room. And so I'm speaking to Roger Peterson. And can I have order? Can I have order, please?
There's a motion to table. You can't do anything except take a vote on it.
Thank you, Roger. Okay.
Point of order, then. Point of inquiry.
Point of inquiry by Jeff.
Okay, Roger, though, here's my question. Is it, and I'm not, this isn't, well, no. Here's my question.
Apologize.
Is it valid to have a motion to table Resolution 4 before it has actually been brought to the floor? No, but no. Right. We brought it up for purposes of reading it, but it was not brought to the floor
correct.
Yet because only number one has been. Is that valid? If it is, I'm fine with it. I just want to hear an answer.
I think you're probably right that it could be argued that we have to table them separately. I'm not sure what since they're very closely related motions, I would say that the president can do it one way or the other, but the point is that we got a table. You can argue that this is all one discussion, even though there are two resolutions.
Okay, thank you, Mr.
I would say you can table the whole thing.
Okay, it is all one discussion. There are two separate resolutions being dealt with. And Margie asked for a point of information.
Point of order for
point
the parliamentarian.
Order. Roger.
I do understand that a motion to table takes precedence, but what I don't recall for the parliamentarian, is there questions or debates or whatever you want to call it, speaking in favor and against on a motion to table, Mr. Parliamentarian?
No.
No.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Roger is saying something. Can we get a microphone to Roger before we go to Frank?
There are other motions like a motion to refer or postpone that are debatable, but the motion to table is not debatable.
It's not. Okay. A motion to refer, et cetera. Those debatable, a motion to table is not, and we have that on the floor. So we had a motion to table. We had a number of seconds. We had lots of points of information. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Abstentions? The ayes have it. Thank you. Okay, folks, Jeff is having a technical difficulty, so we're going to do a door prize. And the door prize will be a can of macadamia nuts. And Cam Ackerman, are you in the room? Acker. Cam Acker, I apologize. Cam, she is in the room. Cam is in the room. Yay! Wonderful. We have... another cash prize, $25 from the Bayview chapter, and we have a can of macadamia nuts to go with it. And what kind of macadamia nuts are those? Milk chocolate macadamia nuts. John McCoy, are you in the room? No, John McCoy. Bert Yanagita, are you in the room? No, Bert. Nancy Unger, are you in the room? Joan Groves, are you in the room? Robin, R-A-Y-N-E.
Bell,
Bell Hicks, are you in the room? Judy Wilkinson, are you in the room? Yay, Judy!
Kim. Kim.
Okay. Jeff needs Mr. Metz to come up to the front while we continue doing more door prizes. What I would state is whenever anyone calls for the floor, you must say your name so that I might recognize you by name. And we are, because there are lots of people, I don't recognize everybody's voices, and I want to acknowledge you by name. So, okay, we have a Harry and David box of goodies, lots of goodies. And we have Maria Casanova. Are you in the room? She is not. Nancy McMaster. Are you in the room? No. Linda Perel, are you in the room? Linda Perel, yay. Bravo.
I thought Gabe left.
Okay.
Oh, Gabe, is Gabe out there?
Okay, is Gabe out there?
Can you come up here, Gabe, please? I thought you took off.
There is a technology crisis up here, and
those guide dog resolutions just shot the others.
The guide dog resolutions just ate up all the other ones. And it's Mitch's fault. Hard copy Braille.
Hard
I knew Mitch
Braille.
Was going to say
That's
that.
Right.
Okay. Mitch says hard copy Braille is a wonderful invention.
We're seeing if he can hear.
Okay. Someone is seeking for the floor and they're not saying their names, so I can't give it to them. Kathy Skivers. Kathy Skivers wants the floor.
Since you don't have Braille, how technology involved are they? Would you like me to do my brief history thing and on the truss maybe while they're doing that, or are they not that involved?
No.
Kathy, how we can have you do your history.
Well, I wasn't going to do history. I was just going to make some announcements and things, but
yes.
I just thought if you're going to have a long delay, we could do that. If not, we'll do it after.
What Gabe just shared with me is that they'll be up in 30 seconds.
Well, I can't do it in 30 seconds.
I know. I'm sorry. Okay. Peter Pardini, 30 seconds, or did you need more?
No, we should be good.
Let's do one more door prize while he's main menuing, and let's see.
Thank you,
we're going to do a macadamia nuts. Dry roasted macadamia nuts. Vern Smith, are you in the room? No Vern Smith. Roger Peterson, I know you're... Woo! Thank you. Roger Peterson is here. We'll have two $25 cash prizes. We have one more box of cookies from the Hawaiian Cookie Company, Honolulu Cookie Company. And we have Maui onion garlic macadamia nuts. Jeff said he's ready, so Jeff, it's all yours.
Okay.
Order from the floor, please.
This is submitted by Gabe and Becky Griffith, and it's resolution 2013-A3, and it's on guide dogs for the blind. Whereas, I don't think this will be quite as controversial as the last two. Whereas Guide Dogs for the Blind, GDB, has had the reputation
Order,
of being
please.
One of the best dog guide schools in the United States. And whereas in recent years, GDB has restructured various aspects of its programs, including puppy raising, guide training, and class experience. And whereas these changes include puppies spending less time with the raisers and in guide training, more reliance on food rewards and shorter class periods for guide dog teams. And whereas these changes have resulted in dogs being placed with handlers at a much younger age and graduates receiving dogs that are not as work ready as they once were. And whereas these practices result in graduates needing to do significant additional work in order to complete the raising and guide training process after graduation, And whereas graduates, especially first-time graduates, need a dog that is ready to sleep guide. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization urge GDB to return to their previous training practices in regards to puppy raising and guide training. The committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay, we have number five. This is Gabe Griffith again. He was busy this time. PDF documents. Whereas portable document
from the
files,
floor,
PDF, created by Adobe, have largely become the dominant document format in the business environment, and whereas many people who are blind or visually impaired use assistive technology to access electronic files, and whereas PDF documents have to be created in an accessible format for screen readers to access them, and whereas the default setting for PDF document creation is to create an inaccessible PDF document, and whereas it is, therefore, necessary in order to create an accessible PDF document for a person to manually check the accessibility box. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization contact Adobe and urge them to make the accessible document setting the default rather than an option. And be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be forwarded to the American Council of the Blind for consideration at its 2013 annual conference and convention. And the committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay, and then this last of the issue-oriented resolutions, number six, is submitted by Ken Metz, and it relates to blind persons on juries. Whereas in 1976, legislation sponsored by the California Council of the Blind to allow blind persons to serve on juries was passed by the California legislature and signed by the governor. And whereas since the passage of this legislation, numerous blind persons have served on juries with much success. And whereas as part of the jury selection process, prospective jurors are required to fill out questionnaires and other forms. And whereas in order for a prospective juror who is blind to fill out these documents, it's necessary that the court system provide reader assistance. And whereas during trial, jurors are required to carefully review documentary and photographic evidence, thus requiring additional assistance. And whereas the California Supreme Court has adopted a rule of court requiring the judiciary to accommodate to the needs of, among others, jurors with disabilities. And whereas many jurisdictions, in accordance with this rule, supply assistance to help jurors who are blind to read and fill out forms. And whereas some jurisdictions do not comply with the requirements of this rule and instead require jurors or potential jurors who are blind to supply their own readers, now therefore be it resolved that this organization inform the Judicial Council of the failure of some jurisdictions to comply with requirements for the accommodation of blind people who are called to serve on juries. And be it further resolved that this organization assist its members who have been denied the accommodations discussed in this resolution to contact the Judicial Council. The committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So we are now down to our last two, but far, certainly not least. Seven, on volunteers.
Can we please have order on the floor?
Get myself a drink of water first.
Margie, sit.
Okay.
Thank you, Jeff.
Whereas the outstanding efforts of the volunteers of the 2013 spring, that's the last time we'll say that in this committee, to 2013 spring conference and convention of the California Council of the Blind, have helped to make this event a resounding success. Now, therefore, be resolved that this organization express its profound appreciation for the outstanding work of the volunteers of the 2013 Spring Conference and Convention of the California Council of the Blind. And man, there were a lot of volunteers.
Yes.
And the committee recommends it do pass, and I so move.
Second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Abstentions. Motion carries. Everyone, let's give a huge applause for all of our volunteers.
You know, I have to tell about a 10-second story. Last week, I talked to some of the Girl Scouts that came here, and right before I talked to them, so 1 week ago, they went to a mortuary to find out about morticians, and this week they're finding out about blind people. I don't know what that says, but you can be the judge. Okay.
Oh, dear.
Our last. Resolution 8 is on hotel staff. Hotel appreciation. Resolved by the California Council of the Blind, et cetera, that this organization express its appreciation for the outstanding services provided prior to and during its spring 2013 conference and convention by the staff of the Arden West Hilton Hotel. And be it further resolved that the president of this organization forward this resolution to the hotel management. The committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Let's give a huge hand for all of them.
Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have a motion? Wait, oh no, wait. Do we need a motion to accept
yes,
your
to
report?
Accept
yes, we do. Okay. We move to accept the report of the Resolutions Committee. We have seconds. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you, Jeff, and everyone on the Resolutions Committee.